Hi, my name is Ian and I am an alcoholic. First off, I want to say congratulations to Jesse for celebrating this month with me too. And to Morgan, I love hearing your story. I could hear it over and over again. First thing I want to say is I feel truly blessed to be here tonight. And it's because of all of you and God that I've been able to do this in the 12 steps. And I owe the biggest thanks to all of you who've been here before me and who are keep coming back. And with that, I'd like to give you my sponsor, and that'd be Greg.
Wow.
My name's Greg Sontheimer, and I'm an alcoholic. God, Alcoholics Anonymous. Tampa's getting rowdy tonight. I have a sobriety date. It's February 14th of 2007, and that was the last time that God removed me from alcohol, and hopefully that will be the last time. I have a sponsor, and I have the honor and privilege of taking other guys through the steps. You know, in a very brief way, I'm going to talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. You know, and the reality is that my opinion and what is expressed up here today is not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's just my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps and the principles behind them. You know, briefly, I'm not going to really get too much into, like, what it was like. You know, we all know how to drink. That's why we're here. You know, if we didn't know how to drink and or if we hadn't had the experiences that we had with alcohol, I don't think we'd be here tonight, because I know for me, if, you know, it took me absolutely every fiber of my being, every fiber of my being did not want to be here when I came here in February of 2007. I grew up great. You know, my parents are absolutely amazing. My alcoholism is not a result of them. You know, my alcoholism is the result of the spiritual malady that I have. And, you know, my parents, the only thing that they're really guilty of is loving me too much. You know, I wasn't physically abused. I wasn't emotionally abused. You know, even if that was the case, that's not the reasoning that I am an alcoholic. You know, very briefly, I got juvenile diabetes when I was 4. You know, and I took my first drink when I was 11. You know, and that first drink was 2 lukewarm Old Milwaukee's Best that tasted absolutely like dirt. But it wasn't the taste that got me. What happened was is that, you know, that sense of ease and comfort that came at once at taking a drink, you know, those 9-step promises happened when I drank alcohol, you know, and I truly believe that, you know, and alcohol was my solution until I got to, until God removed me from that drink the last time on February 14th, 2007, you know, and, you know, so you got me. I come here and I have no solution for my alcoholism. The only solution that I've ever had that stopped working for me is booze. You know, and I'm sober, I'm miserable, I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. And I'm sitting there, you know, and absolutely defiant to the fact of what people are having to offer me, you know. You know, what got me to Alcoholics Anonymous was it was an experience like many other times that I'd had in my life. You know, I end up in the hospital in the critical care unit, you know, and I'm sitting in a hospital bed 2 days after being in critical care unit, and I do the one thing I always do, which is get loaded in the hospital, in general population, you know, and, you know, I don't, at that point, you know, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, it's my 22nd birthday. And I'm in the hospital for probably the 35th time in the past couple years. And, you know, I'm like, something's got to give, you know. And my parents come to me and they're like, oh, if you go to rehab, you know, we'll invite you back into our lives. And, you know, at first I completely defiant and I'm like, no, I don't want anything. I don't want to go to rehab, you know. Then this little psychiatrist lady at the hospital comes in. And she tells me that by the time I'm 25 to 30, I'll suffer from dementia, you know, and I'm cool with that. I'm like, this is a great idea, you know. I get to walk around in a diaper and flick people off and get away for the things I already do, you know. And, you know, but my parents came back in that day, and they offered it one more time. They said, listen, you know, if you don't take this, you're no longer a part of our family, you know. And my mind's telling me no. You know, but what happens is, you know, God intervened through me and I said yes. You know, and I don't understand that. I don't understand how that works. You know, and I don't know how it happened, but I said yes that day. So I go to this rehab center, you know, and they introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I go and I get a sponsor like 4 weeks after I'm in there because, you know, I'm defiant, you know, and I don't think that, like, I'm looking at guys and I'm like, I don't want to talk to a guy about how I feel, you know. I thought that was not acceptable because of my old ideas that I had so deeply ingrained within me. And, you know, so I get this sponsor, you know, after like 4 weeks of being there, you know, and he takes me through the steps, you know, and, I go through 1, 2, and 3 in a very, very quick manner. You know, the first time we meet up, you know, he sits me down at Starbucks and we go through steps 1, 2, and 3, you know. And I got this amazing feeling after step 3. You know, I absolutely was like, wow, this is amazing. I thought that was going to be the way sobriety was going to be for the rest of my life. And it absolutely positively was not. Because what happened was, is, you know, that day I prayed and... you know, I seemingly forgot the next morning when I woke up that I had to hit my knees, you know, and that selfishness and that self-reliant way that I live, you know, was there that next morning when I woke up and I didn't bring God into my life. You know, so I wait a while in between doing steps 1, 2, and 3. Or after I did steps 1, 2, and 3 till I started a 4th step and, you know, it was a miserable time. If anybody's ever been there before, waiting 6 months between doing steps 1, 2, and 3 and then doing your 4th step is not fun. You know, so I got in enough pain to where I was willing to follow some direction and do some work and put pen to paper. And, you know, I promptly did one of those little 4-step packets that were online. You know, I do a 5th step, do 6, 7, and... you know, one thing leads to another. You know, I went through the 12 steps, you know, but somehow, I don't know what happened. You know, it's probably because my head was too far up my backside, and I wasn't paying attention, and I never heard anything about principles. I never heard anything about a reliance upon God. You know, so I'm sitting there, and I'm like 2.5 years sober, you know, absolutely miserable, absolutely hating life, and... you know, I'm doing things that, you know, I had never thought I would do in sobriety. You know, it was only the stuff that I was doing when I was out there getting loaded. You know, I was a, only reason I bring this up from the podium is, you know, because when I was going through this, I didn't think anybody else in Alcoholics Anonymous had been there before. So I'm 2.5 years sober. I'm a treasurer for a meeting, you know, and I'm stealing money from that treasury. You know, that money becomes Greg's money. You know, not that group conscious as money. And, you know, I thought I got paid for that position. Little did I know that was not the case, and I paid the consequences for it, you know. And I'm sitting there 2.5 years sober, more miserable than I was when I was out there, because I have absolutely no solution to the alcoholism that I'm suffering from. And, you know, I'm at this place where, you know, the book talks about a jumping off point, you know, and I'm sitting there and it's like, you know, either follow a spiritual way of living, you know, and I'm like, I don't know, or I go off to the bitter end, you know, and I'm thinking about that feeling of picking up a drink, you know, or killing myself looks like a far better option. You know, but what happened that day, or shortly thereafter, is I went to this event down in Boca Raton, Florida, called Acts of Recovery. You know, and there's people up there sharing from the podium that are like a year sober, you know, talking the language of the heart. You know, and the God in them is touching the God in me. You know, and a very good friend of mine today was down there, you know, and he had this look about him, you know, that I could not account for. You know, I didn't have that feeling, you know. And You know, he really didn't care what anybody thought about him, you know. And so I went and talked to him, and I talked to his wife, and I talked to one of the guys he sponsored. And, you know, I do that whole thing, like I'm sure most of the people here in here can relate, you know. You know, the week, like the couple, like the day after that actual recovery, I go up to him, you know, and I'm all nervous, and I'm like, my knees are wobbling, you know, because it's like that same feeling that I had when I was asking a girl out on a date, you know, and I'm asking this guy to sponsor me, you know, but I'm so egotistical and prideful that, you know, I think that, like, he's not going to want to help me, or, you know, that, you know, when I admit what I had done, that I'm going to be outcast from AA. And that was absolutely positively not the case. You know, that man, I like to call him the baby maker. If you know him, you know that nickname. He's a pretty old follower of the dead. And that was attractive to me. And he really didn't care what anybody thought about him, you know. So I asked that guy to sponsor me. And I wish I could say that's when I took off in Alcoholics Anonymous, but it wasn't. You know, I'm so delusional that I think, like, on my own accord, that, like, what I'm doing is God's work. You know, that helping one single person is like me helping God's kids. You know, and, you know, I went through about 6 months, about a 6 to 9 month period where I was absolutely miserable once again. You know, from that point. And, you know, what happened was, is, you know, I get in this place, and he started, you know, when we were going through the steps, when he started sponsoring me, he started talking about principles, and I'm like, what are principles, you know? And when we started doing step work, he goes, I'm going to better show you how to work with other people, you know? And that's going to be what really is going to keep you happy in the future. And I didn't understand that, you know, but now I do. You know, so we're sitting there, and, you know, he's going through stuff. You know, I had this whole big confusion about what the 10th step was, what the 11th step was. You know, I had no idea of what meditation was. You know, and this, meanwhile, like I said, this is 2.5 years sober. You know, merely staying sober on God's grace. And, you know, what happens is like a series of events comes about. And, you know, I'm just after my third anniversary. You know, I'm in a place again where I'm like, this absolutely sucks. You know, people are talking about happy, joyous, and free, and I'm feeling miserable. You know, I don't understand what this happy, joyous, and free is. And, you know, and what happened is that, like, you know, like I said before, I'm so delusional as to what I think helping God's kids is. And, you know, I made a decision that I was on a 10-day vacation down in Costa Rica with my family and my girlfriend at that time. And, you know, this is a girl who was like one day out of treatment, you know, and I take hostages. And, you know, I don't knowingly like try to torture or maim anybody, but that's what happens when I'm completely relying upon self. And, you know, so we're on this nice, beautiful vacation down in, you know, in a place that I never could have imagined I'd ever go to. And, you know, I reached that point where I'm like, I can't do what I'm doing anymore. And, you know, what I was solely doing was putting all the fibers of my being into helping this girl. You know, and it wasn't her fault. It was absolutely my fault. You know, so I get, we're at the last day, you know, and I'm just like exploding because, you know, I haven't had any contact with any other alcoholics that are new. And, you know, and I make a decision that day. I'm like, I just got to stop doing what I'm doing, you know, because I'm absolutely completely blocking myself off from my fellows, you know. And I get back and, or that last day that we're there, we're in San Jose about to, we're staying at a hotel the night before we're about to come back. And, you know, I made a decision. I'm like, something's got to change. What Greg Sontheimer is doing is not working. You know, so I made a decision that day to let that poor girl be on her own. You know, because I was absolutely positively blocking her off from the power of God. And, you know, and I was blocking myself off from that amazing power that can flow through all of us. So what happens is, you know, I come back the next day and I call my sponsor and he's like, you know what you need to do, you know. And, you know, it talks about it in the 10th step. You know, I was so resentful. I was so dishonest. I was so selfish and I was so fearful of facing life on my own. And, you know, it was simply all I needed to do was ask God to remove that stuff and make amends where I harmed her. And turn my attention to somebody I can help. You know, and that's what sobriety is about today. You know, that was in April of 2010. The past 8 months have not necessarily been like, you know, the greatest months of my life. You know, in terms of outward circumstances. But they have been the greatest moments of my life in my heart. You know, because what happened is, you know, is I found a new respect for what I need to do in Alcoholics Anonymous and what I need to do in every fashion of my life. You know, and, you know, it talks about it in the big book on page 52. It says, you know, when we see people solve their problems with a simple reliance upon, you know, a power greater than themselves. And that's what I saw in that guy, you know. That's what I saw in the baby maker. You know, he was solving all of his problems in a simple reliance upon God, and I didn't understand that, you know. And, you know, what has taken place over those past 8 months, you know, is I have a new relationship with my family, you know, because I don't realize how much my sexual conduct harms other people, not just the other person I'm involved with, my family, my friends, you know, the people that surround me, in pursuit of this self-centered fulfillment. Thank you, Andy. You know, and so what has happened is, like, you know, my family has taken a new place in my life. You know, the guys that I work with has taken a new place in my life. You know, I've had a couple really cool experiences recently. You know, I got four nephews. They vary from the age of, I got one that's 2, one that's 3, one that's 10, and one that's 12. You know, and the 10 and 12-year-old were absolutely affected by my drinking, you know. And I have a new relationship with them today, you know. They actually come, they were just down here, they left yesterday morning. And, you know, they absolutely want to spend time with me today. You know, and I can't understand how that happens other than to give all of that power to God. You know, that only happens via God. That's not something that Greg Sontheimer does out of the virtue of his, like, being. It just doesn't happen. You know, and I got my 2 and 3-year-old nephew who are my brother's kids. You know, the older one has autism. You know, and he absolutely brings an absolute glow to my face every time that he comes over. You know, because a lot of what I've seen with him is, like, you know, something that I suffered from my whole life. You know, he can't communicate the ideas that are going on in his head. It's like a million miles a minute. It's like, you know, and he just can't communicate them. He doesn't know how to say it. And every time he comes over to my house, he's always right by my side. And every time he goes to leave, he goes, "Uncle Greggy, I don't want to go." You know, I don't know. I can't explain how that happens to a drunk like me. You know, somebody who, you know, in their past, that their my brother and my sister-in-law wanted absolutely nothing to do with me because I lived with them in Atlanta, stole money, stole stuff from them, you know, stole all of these things, ruined their vacation or their honeymoon in Mallorca, Spain. You know, and now they trust me with watching their two kids. You know, I don't know how that happens. You know, but what's happened with that 3-year-old, that my nephew who suffers from autism, and it's lit this fire within me. You know, I was going to school and I had no earthly idea what I wanted to do. I thought it would be cool to work with prosthetics because I thought making fake limbs would be awesome. So I could have, like, rooms full of fake limbs. I'd have a table with, like, fake legs on it and stuff. All these novel, crazy things that go on in my head. You know, but what happened was, is, you know, I'm looking at this situation and I'm like, this is absolutely what I want to do. You know, people have always told me my whole life I need to work with somebody else, you know, do some semblance of like therapy or something. I didn't really understand it. And, you know, I was talking to somebody and like my friend, who just recently moved from Boca up to Philly. And he's like, just follow what your heart wants, you know, because I had no clue what I wanted to do other than, like, you know, these cool things that go on in my head. And, you know, I took it to God, you know, and God disclosed that answer to me. You know, I don't know how the hell I'm going to do it because my track record in school is not necessarily the best. But what I guess I need to do is go get a doctorate. You know, for a guy that, you know, it's taken 7 years to get his associate's degree. It's kind of scary because that's another, like, 6 years, 8 years. I don't know. But I don't care. You know, I really don't care. That doesn't just, you know, like, how long I'm in school, how long, that doesn't matter to me. You know, what matters to me is I'm fulfilling God's purpose for me, you know, and that's to help all of his kids. You know, and helping others today is, like, absolutely, like, I don't get lost in hiding and, like, helping others, you know. You know, that's not the case today. You know, I work with a bunch of guys. You know, and it has absolutely nothing to do with me. And has everything to do with God. Because, you know, what Greg says on his own doesn't really ever work for anybody. You know, but what happens is when I sit down and I put God first and the God in me touches the God in them, you know, absolute miracles happen. So I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be sober. Thanks for letting me share.